Hello and welcome back to another edition of Aspiration Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Devin Burnison, and I'm joined by my co-host here, Daisy, who is going to be probably barking at some point and whining and just making all sorts of funny noises in the background, none of which I can control, unfortunately, because much like many of you, I am stuck inside dealing with all of the things that I wish to avoid during a workday, and that is distractions, noise, and kids. In this case, I am a doggo father. So I've got my kid next to me, and I'm trying to get her to chill out. She seems to be pretty calm at this moment. I can't guarantee that for the remainder of our episode, but the topic that brings me into this discussion today is talking about my experience having COVID-19. So I was really, really eager to get into this episode because I wanted to talk about some of the things, the expectations versus the reality. And, you know, it's been a year now, or a little over a year since this pandemic crossed the borders into the U.S. and all hell broke loose. So you've heard me talk with my other guest speakers on their experience with COVID and how they handled it, kind of what their protocol was. Some were athletes, others were, you know, well, most were athletes actually. So I'm dealing with things a little bit differently. There's not a ton of different protocol as far as my situation because I'm not on a sports team. You know, I'm not working with a whole team of individuals at my job. It's just me and my partner, Mallory. So things are a little different in how I conducted myself and what was expected of me in return. First and foremost, I tested positive mid-January. I want to say January 15th, 16th, somewhere around that time. And I was asymptomatic. I actually found out, which was a shocker to me, by phone call from the Tennessee Health Department. And it was 2 days after I had gotten tested. And I got tested after finding out that one of the clients, or a group of the clients I worked with, were actually positive for COVID-19. So that urged me to get tested. And Mallory, my partner, and I both tested positive 2 days after getting the test. Now, what's strange about this to me is being asymptomatic throughout the entire course of our quarantine and isolation period, we didn't have any issues, right? But rewind about a month before that positive test, and I actually started developing COVID symptoms. And I tested negative for COVID during that time. So there's a lot of speculation and questions that I have that ultimately you may leave with questions on your own and speculations on your own. But I'm here to just recount my experience with the virus to maybe give you some context and help you develop an understanding of what you may endure. But I tested negative last month, like I pointed out, or 2 months ago, which would have been a month before my positive test. I tested negative and experienced COVID-like symptoms. So let me first tell you kind of what those looked like. I'm not going to give specific dates because my memory escapes me and I am terrible with that kind of thing. But I know 2 months ago, I was just finishing up a workout. I got home later that evening after working with some clients throughout the week. And right off the bat, I started noticing like general fatigue. And granted, I had just finished a training session myself. So I just chalked it up to, you know, general workout fatigue. Well, I started noticing that I was a bit more sore than I usually am, you know, and it's during these points where I'm pretty hyper aware of what's going on in my body. And I told myself, uh-oh, it's that time. I'm coming down with something. So it urged me to start to become aware, or even more aware of the next symptoms to arise. And you know, at this point, I didn't think that there was anything COVID-related. The general fatigue, I just assume, you know, when your body and your immune system is fighting off anything, you're going to experience fatigue. So that's kind of the direction where my head was at, and I was leaning into that. Well, it wasn't until I started developing like body shakes the very next day and issues with my temperature, having headaches intermittently throughout the day. It would come and go. It was unpredictable. I was not consuming caffeine at the normal amount that I usually do during that time in which I was sick. So, for example, say, you know, I again, this isn't verbatim, but say I started on a Monday with symptoms, I did not consume caffeine for the first 3 days that I was developing symptoms during that time in which I tested negative. This is all important for context, by the way, folks. So, like I said, I initially got tested and I tested negative. I was developing symptoms that were related to COVID, so I'm kind of scratching my head at this point. And then when I really knew that like this, something was wrong here is I lost my sense of taste and smell. Now, this is a phenomena that I want to talk about a little bit deeper because I still haven't fully gotten them back. And this is something that I'm reading which can happen with a lot of different strains of the coronavirus, but can also happen with severe allergies, other ailments that you may be coming out of. It's linked to a lot of different things. So I still was kind of like questioning, do I have this thing? What's going on? But the loss of taste and smell, if I were to describe it, and this is how I knew things were really wrong, right? I do not drink at all. I mean, I just started, and I'm not even kidding you. I just found out wine. Like, I just drank wine for the first time last month. So I hadn't had any alcohol during this point in time and the experience I'm recounting here. So I said, okay, let's check out and see how bad off I am. I took all sorts of different foods to my nose, couldn't smell peanut butter, couldn't taste any of the seltzer waters or anything I was drinking, couldn't taste salt. I took a bottle of brandy that was left from the previous homeowner and we just never touched it. So it had been sitting on the shelf in our pantry area for quite some time. So I took that brandy and I poured out a shot's worth. And after seeing all the TikToks of people taste testing and, you know, coming out with no taste, I was like convinced that I would be able to taste this. Like I told myself, I'm like, there's no way that smell, sense of smell and taste are that heavily impacted in which I will not be repulsed by this taste. So I downed the shot and I was shocked. I couldn't taste a single frickin' thing. I still got that burn in the chest and that warm feeling, but I could not taste that alcohol. And again, I'm not a drinker, guys. I am repulsed by liquor. So the fact that I was able to down that shot and not have any sort of reaction towards it was alarming in and of itself. So aside from some of those physical things that I was facing, with the temperature increase, low-grade fever, and dealing with some body shakes early on, which were more flu-like symptoms than anything, it wasn't until I got that sense of taste and smell lost that I was like, uh-oh, something doesn't seem right here. So after that, that was about my second or third day experiencing symptoms. After that, I was having issues with all of the above there of things that I just mentioned, and it only lasted like 3 days total. And then after the third day, my symptoms decreased. I still had no taste and smell. But I did not have body shakes. I did not have any congestion, you know, no symptoms as far as that goes, other than the taste and smell loss after the third day. Well, you know, I get tested again find out I'm negative again, and then my partner gets a rapid test done, and she finds out she's negative. So we go back to work as usual. And the doctor that she saw at the time chalked it up to severe allergies. Now, I'm no doctor, but I smell some bullshit, right? So I'm skeptical about this the whole way through. And then this past month, in mid-January, where I tested again due to the coronavirus positive test that my client had, my group of clients had, urged me to get tested, and I find out I'm positive 2 days later. Now, what's interesting to me about this, and this is where I want you to kind of, you know, start thinking yourself here, is timelines really matter, right? I did not have symptoms that whole time that I was positive for coronavirus. So I'm trapped inside for 14 freaking days. The Tennessee Health Department is calling me multiple times a day, telling me to quarantine, make sure you're getting all of your groceries from a friend that's willing to do those things. You know, they're just giving me the runaround about how I need to conduct myself over the isolation period. So I didn't experience any symptoms during that time. Matter of fact, that was the best I had felt. And, you know, the physical symptoms that I had when I didn't test positive were actually more COVID-like symptoms. You know, I had those COVID symptoms the month before this point. You know, I had I didn't mention this earlier when I was explaining, but I had the chest tightness. I had the labored kind of breathing. And again, it only lasted 2-3 days, right? I had all the low-grade fever, the chest tightness, all that stuff. Lost the sense, smell, and taste, which lasted a lot longer. And I still haven't fully gotten back, but all those things were happening the first 3 days. And after that, my body physically felt fine. Now, I was, and oddly enough, I was able to go into the weight room and hit a PR. Like, strange, right? Took a whole week off of training, come back, hit a PR in the weight room, and I'm just like ecstatic. You know, little did I know, I could have been a silent spreader, had the virus, and given it to all sorts of people. So, you know, I am doing my best to do the right thing. I still wear a mask in public. I still wash my hands and sanitize them like crazy. I keep a bottle of sanitizer on me. I am not a hypochondriac, but I am pretty aware of, you know, the condition and health that I'm in and where I want to be and continue to maintain that health. So I'm pretty hypervigilant about doing what is necessary to stay healthy. So I take my vitamins. You know, I get sunlight, I get activity throughout the week, and I'm in a pretty healthy spot. I eat a pretty decently clean diet. So I'm one of those lower risk factors for developing severe symptoms. So I'm thinking that's what could have, you know, pushed me through a little bit quicker. Again, having only 3 days worth of symptoms and still testing negative, I could have had a viral load. And if you read up on this, the test that they do, they all are looking at viral load. And viral load is like how much of this infection is readable, right? How much of this load, because you need a certain viral load required to be able to test positive. Is that viral load and the timing of it showcasing a positive test? And these are things that we aren't asking ourselves and kind of looking into when we're getting tested. We're just struck with fear that we might have it or we could get it or that we do have it. So we're not really thinking about all these details. But not to get too off track here, I'm really just focused on giving you guys the scoop on what to expect, and I would be not doing any of you a service by saying it really depends and it's variable amongst each individual. But what I know about myself and what I experienced and what Mallory experienced is we had a short run of symptoms that lasted a week or less, symptoms of which were not severe, not life-threatening, but uncomfortable, right? Your pretty general flu symptoms. Now, that's not to say that it couldn't have been worse with higher risk populations, and that's what I'll get into next. You know, we're living in a world where three out of five Americans are dealing with, you know, some sort of heart issue, diabetes, you know, all these underlying health conditions that add risk to your symptoms once contracting the coronavirus. And what we know about the coronavirus is it has a large impact on the heart and the lungs. So any time where you're dealing with potential threat on your oxygen intake and your metabolic systems in that way, you're going to definitely have issues if you're adding underlying health conditions to the fire. So where am I going with this? I'm essentially telling you, if you're a healthy adult, and this is coming from a lot of different people that I know within, I live in Tennessee and we are the hot spot of the world, or at least were at one point in time. We've dealt with positives. I know I have good friends of mine and clients around here in my area that have had the virus and have continued to go about their day as usual and no problems other than some small symptoms throughout the week. I've had others that have been in the hospital and on a ventilator and near death. So the range and contrast that exists with this virus is not one to be messing around with. What I can say is if you're supplementing properly with vitamin D3 and making sure that you're taking care of what's called micronutrient intake. So if you don't know what micronutrients you may need, I would suggest you take a look at some of the popular or common deficiencies of these micronutrients that people generally have. For those of you that are new to the podcast, we kind of talk about some of these things pretty frequent, but long story short, micronutrients you need, okay? You're not just bound to carbohydrate, fat, and protein intake. We need to start taking a deeper look at what kind of minerals in those micronutrients we're getting in to our body to help with these metabolic processes and keeping our body healthy and functioning correctly and efficiently. So vitamin D3 is one that I mentioned. We're looking at people that aren't getting enough vitamin D, you know, through sunlight or means of supplementation, and they've got poor dietary intake, so they're not getting it through their food. You've got to make sure that you're using supplements, folks. If you have underlying health conditions and you aren't on supplements, you need to start now. If you don't have underlying health conditions, you need to supplement anyway. It's a good practice and it's good for you. And I believe that a lot of people have issues that they don't even realize can be tied to insufficient or lack of these minerals and micronutrients in the body. So that would be my first place to start, is make sure you're supplementing. You'd be surprised at what that can do for your overall wellness day to day, really. I mean, it takes a really large toll on, or impacts rather, your digestion, your gut health, your mental capacity and cognitive capacity and efficiency. All of these things to just say, folks, please focus on your supplementation. What I always try to look at is controlling the controllables, right? And if you're somebody that has some underlying health conditions, or maybe you're not and you're just someone that wants to really be aware of what's going in and out of your body so that you can improve your health and wellness, that would be something I would certainly try to control, is the vitamin intake and getting a good source of those vitamins that you may need. depending on your current situation, one of which I would talk with a doctor to figure out. But making sure that you get it through food as well. You know, eating clean foods and getting your vitamins that way and supplementing as needed is what I would see as an efficient path for you to combat not just COVID-19, but other ailments in general. Now, going back to some of the people that I've had relationships and communications with in my proximity, you know, we're dealing with this kind of contrast of, and this is why I have this conversation with you, of healthy individuals, no underlying conditions, having little to no symptoms in regards to COVID-19 and getting infected with, versus people with pretty extensive list of underlying health conditions or immunocompromised, dealing with some pretty heavy symptoms to boot with their COVID-19. So all of this to say, folks, if you're someone who's healthy and you're somebody who focuses on their day-to-day supplementation, their eating, their exercise, right? Making sure that you're all around just well, right? You're going to have less of a hardship with this virus. And this is without a shadow of a doubt. You're going to have less of a hardship with this virus if you have all those things under control. Now, that does not mean that you go into the store without your mask and you're not washing your hands and you're putting other people at risk, because the person next to you may be that same person that I said is immunocompromised or is a senior citizen or has underlying health conditions or all the above. And you may have just very well put them in the grave by being unempathetic, right? In not taking accountability for your own actions. So I discuss this with you to paint the picture of what it can look like on different people and what's possible. This is not a go-ahead for you to act like a goon and be an inconsiderate jackass and not take precaution and consideration for other people's health. So I just want you to be equipped, and I want you to be aware, and I want you to be knowledgeable of other people's experiences with the virus, myself included. What I would suggest you do for testing is find your local Department of Health. Maybe you're not close to that, or you know, maybe you don't have those resources available. Make sure that you're getting tested by a credible testing site. Okay, a place that's doing free testing on the weekends is fine. A place that has been doing it since the start. What you don't want to do is get caught up with the gimmicks out here. You know, all of a sudden my local walk-in clinic is doing testing. I don't see that as a great idea. But I would choose, you know, if you have a Department of Health nearby or, you know, a trusted source in which you can, people have shared their experience with testing and gotten it done since the beginning of the pandemic, I would go that route. If you don't have any of those resources and you need to just get tested because you're dying to figure it out, or you need to treat your, you know, figure out where you're at so you can be treated properly, go with what's available. But if you have options, don't just go to the CVS down the street and get tested there, especially if you don't have health insurance, right? If you don't have health insurance, this is already a problem to navigate because the system is not set up for you to get tested easily and efficiently. So for me, somebody who does not have health insurance and I've got issues with that whole system, I turned to the public health incentive in our area and the free testing resources we have in our area in our small town of Springfield here. So that may not be something that's available to you. And I think that's something you need to look into for sure and figure out what resources are available to you and go to them, use them, because they are allocated for that reason. So to summarize today's show, folks, I got the yuck. I got COVID-19. It was a very short and not so sweet experience with the symptoms initially. I actually tested negative, so you could call that a false negative test. I lost my sense of taste and smell, which I have still not fully gained back, but thankfully I am starting to get it back, and some days are better than others, so I'm really hoping I can get full sense of taste and smell back. I do not miss smelling shit and piss and all sorts of yucky stuff that my doggos tend to be like children with. But for some of you, you know, new mothers out there, this is kind of a small win, is not smelling those poopy diapers any longer. It makes it a little more manageable and tolerable, right? All jokes aside, though, you know, summarizing again, my experience with the symptoms of the virus were 3 days or less, and the physical symptoms I experienced were shortness of breath, tightness in the chest upon inhalation, dealing with minor fatigue. Some people experience very strenuous fatigue that they just can't even, you know, get up and walk across their hallway to get a bite to eat. That wasn't me, but I did have just general fatigue from my body fighting the virus, and some flu-like symptoms in which I had a low-grade fever, some shivers, and loss of appetite. Again, all 3 days or less for me. That does not mean it's going to be the story for you, however. Like I said, testing positive this time around this month, I did not have any symptoms. I was asymptomatic. And it is possible to have the virus and not experience any symptoms and still be giving it to other people. So that's where we call into your ethos and we start to say, hey, is it ethical? Is it moral to, you know, not have symptoms and to still go about my life as usual? Well, no, you need to care about your neighbor. You need to take in consideration their health and where they're coming from. We're all sending our kids back to school in many different areas in Tennessee. So it's important that you know where you're at and know the community around you so that you can better, you know, implement these practices of social distancing, wearing your mask, doing whatever's necessary to take care of some of our less than fortunate neighbors that may have immunocompromised positions in, you know, maybe other ailments, underlying health conditions that they're dealing with. We've all got to have a little more empathy this day and age. Everybody's dealing with something right now. There's not a single person that hasn't been impacted by COVID. And we need to just remember that we're all stuck in this situation and we've got to make life a little bit easier for one another. So it starts with communication. It starts with having empathy towards one another and where we're coming from, walking a mile in each other's shoes, so to speak. So that's all I have for you today, folks. Thanks for joining me after a long downturn here, down period of not producing many episodes. Like I said, I caught COVID, dealing with some of the falling out of those issues, and then just time constraints, you know, tax season's around the corner, getting things organized for my business, and just dealing with life things like many of you. But we're back, and I'm glad to be back, and I'm looking to definitely develop some more content in the near future. I usually get on a streak where I'm posting tons of things out the wazoo, and then I take a downturn for a month or maybe a little longer in some ways. And you just take time when you need it, right? So hopefully you guys enjoyed the show, got something valuable out of it, maybe learned something. More than anything, I just want you to gain some perspective and insight on what you can expect if you're, you know, maybe worried that you have COVID or your family member has COVID. Maybe you can comfort them with some of the experiences I had, or maybe you create a sense of urgency because this person has underlying health conditions and you need to take action rather than wait for it to run its course. Wherever you're at in your position, I trust that you'll refer to the resources in your area and do what needs to be done to take care of your loved ones. Thanks, guys, for joining me on another edition, and I hope to be talking with you again soon. And never forget, aspire to inspire.